Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Marvelous Monday, July 2nd, 2012. Welcome to the Think and Grow Rich call. My name is Paul Hutchings, and I'm dialing in from beautiful Southeast Idaho, and I am excited for another fresh day, another fresh month, another block of time for us to expand our minds together, to illuminate our souls together, to learn how we can take advantage of this very time, this very day that we have before us, so that we can stand up taller, reach out farther, and touch more lives, so that we can have more happiness, health, wealth, and wisdom in our lives, and bring that to the lives of those that we are seeking to influence. Folks, welcome! What an exciting day to be alive. Now, we do have some great content today. I wanted to share something with you, a little bit of a story to kind of start the call off. You know, a lot of times we talk about this success formula, and the success formula is mindset plus skill set times performance equals results, or at least the abbreviated version of that formula is what I just mentioned. And I'm always looking for ways to better understand and better apply this formula in my life, because I know that the level to which I understand and apply this formula directly translates into profitability in my business and also, you know, the effectiveness that I am in other areas of my life. So again, mindset plus skill set times performance equals results. And so I had this experience that really was kind of an aha moment for me in relation to the success formula, and I want to share that with you. And the story starts a few weeks ago. It was a Friday, I think around 11 a.m. my time, and I was talking to one of our valued callers who dials in every morning, Todd from Baltimore. We were talking. It was 11 a.m. Friday morning, would have been 1 p.m. his time because he lives on the East Coast. And Todd said to me, he goes, "Hey, Paul, you do anything special tonight, you know, with your wife or your family or anything?" And I was like, "Oh, gosh, Todd, you know, haven't even really thought about it." I said, "What about you?" He says, "Oh, you know, I got $500 in my pocket, and I'm taking my wife Shannon out tonight, and we're going to go to the mall, and I'm going to surprise her and, you know, pull this $500 cash out of my pocket, and she likes to shop, and I'm just going to, you know, give her the money, and we're going to have her go spend it. We're going to go spend it together." And that little story that he shared with me has caused me to ponder and think about ways where I might be able to be a better husband to my wife. And so this last Friday, we're busy, you know, it's the end of the month, we're working hard, Friday's really busy, we're doing three-way calls and helping new partners get started in the business and all the fun stuff that we do in the home business industry, and it's a really busy day. Well, I had this thought pop in my mind, thinking about this conversation that I had with Todd a little while ago, and this thought was, hey, you know, you should, you know, take your wife, Corrine, out and have a little fun tonight. So I broke out of my office and I said, "Hey, honey, do you want to call your parents and see if they'll watch the kids tonight? We can go out on a date." And she says, "Okay." So later on that day, we take the kids out to my wife's folks, and, you know, we get a little dressed up, and we go to a little restaurant here in Blackfoot where we live, Blackfoot, Idaho, and this restaurant's called Tommy Vaughn's, and they have this nice little patio area that's outside where we can go out and enjoy the fresh air, and it's overlooking this lake that's in our hometown, this community lake called Jensen's Grove, just a really, really nice atmosphere. And we're sitting there eating some wonderful food. I had stuffed mushrooms for an appetizer and a house salad with raspberry vinaigrette. And then I had a smoked salmon. And my wife was enjoying a very nice cordon bleu meal. And we're sitting there just enjoying each other and enjoying the atmosphere and the fresh air. And I said, "Well, what do you want to do after we get done eating, honey?" And she says, "Well, why don't we go bowling?" I'm like, "All right, hey, that's a great idea. Let's do it. Let's go bowling." So we get done eating, and we hop in the car, and we drive over to the bowling alley. And it looks like the place is, closed down. There's only one vehicle in the parking lot, and we walk in to check and see if they're open, and we find out that it's the owner's vehicle, and, yeah, they are open. So we've got the whole place to ourselves. So we get our shoes and we're sitting down, we pick our, you know, we pick our ball and we get the game set up, and I get up there, I'm first, and I roll a strike, and I turn around and I think to myself, "Oh boy, game on, this is going to be fun," you know, first frame, strike, and I don't know how long it's been since I bowled. Well, my wife gets up there and she throws the ball and there are a few pins left. And I'm chuckling to myself, thinking, oh, yeah, you know, I'm going to win. I'm going to do so good here. And she gets up again and then spare. Well, the next four or five frames, I leave one or two pins on the lane, and my wife bowls a spare, a spare, a spare, another spare. And so she's literally, like, kicking my butt in this game of bowling. So I say to myself, well, wait a minute, mindset, Paul, because I'm getting a little bit razzled here, right? I'm getting a little bit shaken, and like my wife's really beating me. So I say to myself, well, I've got this secret, mindset, right? We do this mindset call every morning, and I've got I know about auto-suggestion. So what do? I get up there with my ball, and I'm looking down the lane, and I start saying to myself, I am such an amazing bowler. I throw strike after strike after strike. I am such an amazing bowler. I am so good at this game. And my confidence starts to rise a little bit, right? And so I start this, you know, auto-suggestion mindset. Well, long story short, it didn't work. She still beat me, and she beat me bad, and we played another game, and she beat me bad again. And as I was pondering that experience, I remembered the formula, and I remembered it's not just mindset. It's mindset plus skill set times performance equals results. And it really hit me that, wow, you know, mindset's an incredible part, but we've got to have the skills as well. And so, you know, you might be saying, well, what good is mindset then? Well, here's what good mindset is in this little scenario of bowling, this little average, ordinary experience that I had in my life. The value of mindset was, when I realized that I didn't have the skills to utilize that formula and actually win the game, what I did realize was, at that point in time, I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that if I wanted to invest a little bit of time gaining the skills in bowling, if I wanted to practice, if I wanted to hone my skills, if I wanted to maybe take a few lessons from someone who is better than me, I knew, because of my mindset, I knew that I could become an excellent bowler. And that's why mindset is so important, because it gets us into that frame of mind where we know that if we will just learn the skills we need, and we've got we've got other pieces of the formula, obviously, persistence and desire and major definite per, all these other things that fall into mindset. But if we've got the mindset right, then we know that we can do whatever goal we have set out. So mindset is important, even though it didn't necessarily help me win that game of bowling. That little teeny experience really helped me to just drive home to myself. You got to have the whole formula, mindset, skill set, and performance, the whole formula. And it translates directly, my friends, to whatever we're doing in business. And so that being said, let's jump into the main content of the call today as we're continuing our study of persistence from the book Think and Grow Rich by Dr. Napoleon Hill. Here we go. Symptoms of lack of persistence. Here you will find the real enemies which stand between you and noteworthy achievement. Here you will find not only the symptoms indicating weakness of persistence, but also the deeply seated subconscious causes of this weakness. Study the list carefully and face yourself squarely if you really wish to know who you are and what you are capable of doing. These are the weaknesses which must be mastered by all who accumulate riches. Number one, failure to recognize and clearly define exactly what one wants. Number two, procrastination, with or without cause, usually backed up with a formidable array of alibis and excuses. Number three, lack of interest in acquiring specialized knowledge. Number four, indecision, the habit of passing the buck on all occasions instead of facing issues squarely, also backed by alibis. Number five, the habit of relying upon alibis instead of creating definite plans for the solution of problems. Number six, self-satisfaction. There is but little remedy for this affliction and no hope for those who suffer from it. Number seven, indifference, usually reflected in one's readiness to compromise on all occasions rather than meet opposition and fight it. usually reflected in one's readiness to compromise on all occasions rather than meet opposition and fight it. Number 8, the habit of blaming others for one's mistakes and accepting unfavorable circumstances as being unavoidable. Number 9, weakness of desire due to neglect in the choice of motives that impel action. Number 10, willingness, even eagerness, to quit at the first sign of defeat, based upon one or more of the 6 basic fears. Eagerness. Are there people out there that are really eager to quit? It's kind of hard to imagine, but you know what? Absolutely. Quit at the first sign of defeat. Number 11, lack of organized plans placed in writing where they may be analyzed. Remember, power is organized effort. How well are you organizing your personal effort? Do you have written plans that you're following on a daily basis? Number 12, the habit of neglecting to move on ideas or to grasp opportunity when it presents itself. Number 13, wishing instead of willing. Number 14, the habit of compromising with poverty instead of aiming at riches. General absence of ambition to be, to do, and to own. Number 15, searching for all the shortcuts to riches, trying to get without giving a fair equivalent, usually reflected in the habit of gambling, endeavoring to drive sharp bargains. And number 16, fear of criticism, failure to create plans and to put them into action because of what other people will think, do, or say. This enemy belongs at the head of the list because it generally exists in one's subconscious mind, where its presence is not recognized. See the 6 basic fears in a later chapter. Let us examine some of the symptoms of the fear of criticism. The majority of people permit relatives, friends, and the public at large to so influence them that they cannot live their own lives because they fear criticism. Huge numbers of people make mistakes in marriage, stand by the bargain, and go through life miserable and unhappy because they fear criticism, which may follow if they correct a mistake. Anyone who has submitted to this form of fear knows the irreparable damage it does by destroying ambition, self-reliance, and the desire to achieve. Millions of people neglect to acquire belated educations after having left school because they fear criticism. Countless numbers of men and women, both young and old, permit relatives to wreck their lives in the name of duty because they fear criticism. Duty does not require any person to submit to the destruction of his personal ambitions and the right to live his own life in his own way. People refuse to take chances in business because they fear the criticism which may follow if they fail. The fear of criticism in such cases is stronger than the desire for success. Too many people refuse to set high goals for themselves or even neglect selecting a career because they fear the criticism of relatives and friends who may say, "Don't aim so high. People will think you are crazy." When Andrew Carnegie suggested that I devote 20 years to the organization of a philosophy of individual achievement, my first impulsive thought was fear of what people might say. The suggestion set up a goal for me far out of proportion to any I had ever conceived. As quick as a flash, my mind began to create alibis and excuses, all of them traceable to the inherent fear of criticism. Something inside of me said, "You can't do the job. It is too big and requires too much time. What will your relatives think of you? How will you earn a living? No one has ever organized the philosophy of success. What right have you to believe you can do it? Who are you anyway to aim so high? Remember your humble birth. What do you know about philosophy? People will think you are crazy," and they did. "Why hasn't some other person done this before now?" These and many other questions flashed into my mind and demanded attention. It seemed as if the whole world had suddenly turned its attention to me with the purpose of ridiculing me into giving up all desire to carry out Mr. Carnegie's suggestion. I had a fine opportunity then and there to kill off ambition before it gained control of me. Later in life, after having analyzed thousands of people, I discovered that most ideas are stillborn and need the breath of life injected into them through definite plans of immediate action. The time to nurse an idea is at the time of its birth. Every minute it lives gives it a better chance of surviving. The fear of criticism is at the bottom of the destruction of most ideas which never reach the planning and action stage. Many people believe that material success is the result of favorable breaks. There is an element of ground for the belief, but those depending entirely upon luck are nearly always disappointed because they overlook another important factor which must be present before one can be sure of success. It is the knowledge with which favorable breaks can be made to order. During the Depression, W.C. Fields, a comedian, lost all his money and found himself without income, without a job, and his means of earning a living, vaudeville, no longer existed. Moreover, he was past 60, when many men consider themselves old. He was so eager to stage a comeback that he offered to work without pay in the new field, movies. In addition to his other troubles, he fell and injured his neck. To many, that would have been the place to give up and quit. But Fields was persistent. He knew that if he carried on, he would get the breaks sooner or later, and he did get them, but not by chance. Mary Dressler found herself down and out, with her money gone, with no job when she was about 60. She, too, went after the breaks and got them. Her persistence brought an astounding triumph late in life, long beyond the age when most men and women are done with ambition to achieve. Eddie Cantor lost his money in the 29 stock crash, but he still had his persistence and his courage. With these plus two prominent eyes, he exploited himself back into an income of $10,000 a week. Verily, if one has persistence, one can get along very well without many other qualities. The only break anyone can afford to rely on is a self-made break. These come through the application of persistence. The starting point is definiteness of purpose. Examine the first 100 people you meet. Ask them what they want most in life, and 98 of them will not be able to tell you. If you press them for an answer, some will say security, many will say money, a few will say happiness, others will say fame and power, and still others will say social recognition, ease in living, ability to sing, dance, or write. But none of them will be able to define these terms or give the slightest indication of a plan by which they hope to attain these vaguely expressed wishes. Riches do not respond to wishes. They respond only to definite plans, backed by definite desires, through constant persistence. And, folks, I'm going to open up the lines. Star 6 to unmute your line. Would love to hear your thoughts or experiences on the subject of today's call, persistence and symptoms of the lack thereof. Star 6, come on out.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, Melvin, good morning.
Hey, good morning to you. Yeah, you're talking about that magic word again, persistence, that thing that'll work for anyone. I think you did a good job there, you know, of covering all the things that we do to feed ourselves. And I guess my thoughts about that were to realize that every single one of us, there's not one of us, there's no one that can't do this, and that's to stop making excuses. And to realize, you know, that simple saying about if it is to be, it is up to me. You know, you take on that kind of attitude, that kind of frame of mind, and you just think up, forward, to win, go to the top, you know, and everybody can have a great life. Just by changing the thinking in that kind of direction and to stay that course, just to stay that course. And no matter what happens, to stay that course, you cannot help but win and have yourself a great life. Back to you, Paul.
If it is to be, it is up to me. I love that line, Melvin. Appreciate those thoughts. Star 6, who's next?
Good morning, Paul.
Good morning.
This is Mark Myers from Maine.
Hey, Mark, good morning. Great to hear your voice on the line this morning. How you doing today?
Yeah. Oh, great. I'm excited. I'm pumped. And This chapter could go on for, you could stay on this chapter for a while, for all I care. Just to reiterate persistence, keeping your eye focused on the goal, and I was made to think of your illustration there with bowling and anything. It, your as long as you keep practicing it. As soon as you give up on being persistent in whatever you endeavor to do, then you're not gonna, it's gonna fail. You're gonna stop. And I gave this illustration to you before. You know, we are our worst enemies. If we are our worst enemies, then if we can defeat ourselves, it's a win-win situation, because we can get over ourselves, we get over our failures, and get over our procrastinations. Then we shall move forward with vigor and vision. And when you know, adversity comes, we'll be able to face it square in the face instead of running away from it. We'd just be able to keep moving forward, and that's what we need to do in anything that we endeavor to do, is just to keep moving forward. Because we look back and see our failures, then we're going to drag ourselves down. But if we look forward and say, you know, this is what I'm going to do, and as you mentioned before, plant our feet in cement. Although I'm not sure if we should plant our feet in cement, but because that'll slow us down. But we need to write down our goals, and we need to keep those before us. Set it before us so we can keep moving forward to it. Just like the old adage where you put a carrot out in front of a mule to keep them going, or a horse anyway, to keep them going straight. We need to put that carrot out in front of us so that we can reach for it. But don't get it too close that you grab it and that's it. But we need to keep moving it ahead just a little further so we have something to reach for. But, again, back to the thing with persistence. We need to be persistent. Back to you, Paul.
Mark, love those thoughts. And I love how you pointed out that persistence gets easier as long as you keep practicing it, how true that is. Thank you. Star 6, who's next?
Good morning, my friend. Well, Hutchins, how are you, sir?
Hey, I'm doing great. Good morning, Rick. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. That was a wonderful story, man. I was sitting back and listening to that story and anticipatory style. I said, what Paul has come up with this morning? But that was a wonderful story. And for sure, man, you're becoming a wonderful storyteller. My friend, I remember this guy, he used to say, this guy is in the network marketing business, and I go to sleep with him in my hair sometime, and I hear him used to say, you were hung by your tongue. Life and death is in the power of the tongue, and if you can confess it, you can possess it. And it's funny, one of the students he brought on, he said, faith cometh by hearing, and who do you hear most? He said, yourself. What are you saying to yourself? It's incredible. You know, persistence, my friend, I want to bring you the fact about this guy, Jeff Bezos. Jeff Persistent Bezos. When Amazon started, most people never thought that Amazon would make it. In fact, it was only up until a few years ago, maybe 3 years ago or less, I think it was 2009 or 2010, that Amazon got out of operating into the red and they got into the black. In fact, at one point, the guy, one of the finance guys, came up and said to Bezos, boss, we're not doing too bad. We're only $85 million in the red. And so they were looking optimistic at that time. Now, you think about this. Now, Amazon got knocked out recently because of the weather. Now, you got to recognize this, because there are quite a bit of people, even a lot more people, using the service of Amazon, including Instagram, Pinterest, and others. Many others were using Amazon. And so you know that there are going to be a lot of bad mouthing and bad talking, deservedly so, because a company like Amazon should have redundant servers in diverse areas, dispersed areas. But here's what. Here's what happened, and everyone can learn from this. Because of exactly what happened to Amazon, we can learn from that. Those companies can say, wow, there's an example right there. We can learn from the mistake that Amazon was unprepared for such a disaster. Yes, a think they recovered nicely. I'm in the network. I'm in the IT business and networking and connecting dispersed and diverse systems. And so they made an error. But what I can tell you is this. If I know who Jeff Bezos and the attitude that Bezos had, they're going to come out 10 times stronger. And if the other companies understand what happened and they can learn from the mistakes that Amazon made. Persistence is the middleman of Jeff Bezos. And so a lot of times when you see people jumping around and moving, for years sometimes I heard, actually, I don't want to experience it, but for years I've heard people are doing that. In the network marketing business, they said, if you follow the indicators as it represents that if you stick with this business, that you will eventually succeed. And so a lot of times they run around, but they're still in the network marketing trying to find themselves. And so this guy said, you know what? Be patient with the people you're working with, but be impatient with yourself. Folks, that is my talk for this morning. Have a great day on me.
Rick Martin, appreciate your thoughts. Really do. Great to hear your voice this morning. Star 6, who's next? You know, this number 3 on the list of symptoms of lack of persistence is lack of interest in acquiring specialized knowledge. Do you know that we do conference calls every morning for mindset? We do conference calls almost every day for skill set. We do live prospecting calls, and it would literally shock you if you knew how many people attended some of those live prospecting calls. And I don't mean shock you in the quantity, the greatness of quantity. I mean shock. In fact, Friday. We actually ended up having a few more people, but Friday when we started a live prospecting call, it was Ray from Jersey and me on the line. So I think of this lack of interest in acquiring specialized knowledge, and I think of how many people are so anxious to start a business, but how many people are anxious to learn the knowledge and the skill necessary to make that business perform. So I just wanted to point that out. Star 6, who's next?
Morning, Paul. It's me again.
Good morning.
Hey, I just another thought that I had in as far as something that was mentioned about giving. People give of their time and give, and you need to be persistent in everything. In giving, we need to give without give of our time. Give of our abilities, give of our monetary, whatever we have, and it'll be given back to us. It's been pressed on my heart this week about giving, and we need to be persistent. When we give of ourselves to help other people, especially in this network marketing business, if we give of ourselves, it will come back to us. But we have to be persistent in our giving. And just this topic of persistence has a broad spectrum of areas in our lives that we need to keep practicing persistence. So back to you, Paul.
Mark, I love that thought. Giving, you know, I'm reminded of the QQS rating that we learned about: quality, quantity, and spirit of service.
Right.
In this industry, we have to learn to give, but then we also have to learn how to give in the most effective manner, and it's increasing that quality and quantity and the spirit in which we do give. Appreciate that, Mark. Star 6, who's next?
Hey, Paul, it's Lindy.
Hey, Lindy, the cold calling queen. Welcome to the call.
I am the cold call queen, and I'm learning. I ended up making 21 cold calls on Friday. I talked to about 10 people, a couple people hung up on me, but every call, I could not believe, you know, I've been in sales before, and I just did not want to do cold calls. But after being on the prospecting calls and listening to you, Paul, and listening to Todd, and, you know, having some banter in between the calls and making, and it was fun, that's what I decided I was going to do. I was going to have fun, and I did. And I looked forward. I could not believe every time I dialed the number, I was hoping somebody would pick up and it wouldn't be a machine. But, you know, every time I made a call, then no matter what happened, I'd say, okay, now what could I have done differently to make that even better? And I just, it's a process, and I am going to be persistent because I will be the cold call queen. Woohoo! Back to you, Paul.
Lindy, I love it. I love it. Good for you. You know, and it's all how you look at it. I like to say a lot of times prospecting is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. You know that line from Forrest Gump, you're going to open some pieces of chocolate that are just delicious and tasty, and you might open some that are maybe a little bit rotten, but you know what? There're not going to be that many that are rotten. Most of the calls when you learn to prospect and you engage in it consistently, you're going to learn from people, you're going to help people. And that's why I love it. I mean, it's meeting new people every day, learning from them, and then sharing some things that can help them. It's an amazing thing. And I'm happy to report on the subject of persistence that I have picked up the phone very consistently every single weekday for, since June of 2010 is when I started picking up the phone. I do it every day, and I will do it every day, and that's one of the reasons that I've had a certain measure of success in my business, is I've been persistent in doing that. And was I good at it when I started? Heck no! In fact, I was talking to my wife, Corrine, the other day about, you know, we're doing these live prospecting calls, and we're, you know, I'm hearing some of my team members, you know, express their concerns and their fears about making these calls. And I was talking to my wife, and I'm like, man, you know, there's really a lot of things that stop people in these live calls, and I was expressing to her that I just wish people could get to the point where where it's like automatic. I mean, because now when I pick up the phone, it's my subconscious kicks in. I don't really have to think about it. It just happens automatically. And she's like, yeah, honey, but remember when you first started in 2010? She goes, I remember you were terrified to pick up the phone and you weren't sure how to do it. And, you know, you had all of these same exact fears of what to say and how does a good call go. But being persistent with it, you will get to a point where your subconscious kicks in and it just is literally automatic for you, and that's really exciting. So, Lindy, thanks for being such a great example in that area. Really appreciate that. Star 6, who's next?
Paul,
one
Todd
other
Young.
Thought on that. Sorry.
Lindy,
oh,
please,
yeah.
Please.
Todd,
no, I want to hear that thought.
Lindy, go
okay,
ahead.
My
and then
thought
Todd.
On that is I've looked at what is different now than it was before whenever I didn't want to pick up the phone. You know, it was like I had to muster up every bit of self-discipline to pick up the phone, and Friday it wasn't like that. And so I think what was in me and what I identified in myself is my belief in what I have. I believe that this could help every single person out there, and I also know that not every single person out there is going to recognize that. So all I got to do is just keep putting it out there, and I'm going to get some that will recognize it and will be as excited as I am to have it. So that's my final thought.
Awesome, Lindy. Appreciate that. Todd, go ahead, sir.
I wanted to comment to what Lindy just went through. And Lindy, fantastic. What Lindy went through was she used to have fear, which was doubt, which turned into her faith that it could work, which turned into belief. So when she had faith, it just completely negated doubt. You either have doubt or you have faith. So she went through that faith stage, and then she believed, and then it turned into knowledge. Through cold calling, getting in touch with people, then people would join your business. So Lindy, fantastic for breaking through that knowing-doing gap and that barrier that most of us constantly go through in life and give up on very, very quickly. So I applaud you. That was fantastic. You know, it's really funny, Paul, everybody on this call, you know, I feel like we're all in the military, in the financial military, you know, because we're all getting our nicknames. You know how, like, fighter pilots put their nicknames on the side of their jets? We're all getting those nicknames, and I think that's totally cool. So anyway, I know that, you know, your nickname is – I know you got several nicknames, but I know Boom Baby is one that we constantly say that Paul's Boom Baby Hutchings, which I do love that one. But you know what? I wanted to tell a real quick story along with my something else I wanted to say was when chocolates first started coming out in the 1800s, they thought – they being the chocolate makers, thought that if they made boxes of chocolates and people didn't know what was inside, that people would buy the chocolates because they thought that that's the way the American public was. Well, it's funny that people in Europe bought chocolates that didn't have the name of the chocolate inside the boxes. But then a fear came in here in this country, which was amazing, that they would open up a box of chocolates and you didn't know what came inside. And that's where the statement came from, life is a box of chocolates, you never know what you're going to get. Well, there happened to be a man by the name of Whitman who did something that nobody had ever done in this entire world, was that he took a box of chocolates and he put exactly what those chocolates were inside the box, not knowing what the outcome was going to be of those sales of those chocolates. And lo and behold, now 100 years later, we have chocolates that are continually marked on the inside of that box, and you know exactly what you're going to be eating when you open up that box of chocolates. And our life is that way, and the decisions that we make are that way, and writing them down and really what this chapter is about. Even Dr. Napoleon Hill, in the beginning of the chapter, you know, had thoughts of criticism and when these ideas came into his mind. And what an intelligent thing to say that most ideas are stillborn. And definite plans must have immediate action. Definite plans and backed by persistence. Persistence, again, is a willingness to go even though you are continually hearing no. And those no's are not only from other people, but those no's are in our own mind. You know, our minds start making excuses for fear of criticism, and that really comes from the new brain. Our old brain, which is, you know, a lot of psychology behind our old brain and our midbrain and our new brain, our old brains only wanted sex, food, and they looked out for danger. And they called that the reptilian brain. And our new brain only wants sex, food, and safety. And so you think about, you know, what people do on a daily basis. You know, of course, it's those three things, and it boils down to logic and reason. So when it comes to persistence and our instinctive ways, when it comes to decision-making, we either freeze, hide, submit, flee, or fight. And you have to ask yourself, which one of those do you do? And I'd become a practitioner of persistence my entire life. Ask my 36-year-old wife when I met her at such a young age, and I saw her, and I went, wow, I'm going to marry that woman. Said it on the very first day I met her. And I married her years later because I knew in my mind that I was going to marry that woman the day I'd met her. And I have other circumstances just like that in my life because I know in my life that when I want something, I get it, and I'm unshakable. And our brains can realize and enjoy our surroundings when we have contact with others and with ideas. You just have to fight your mind and be persistently fighting because you're going to get influences from the outside and you're definitely going to get a lot more from the inside your mind. But what if things are safe and your old brain still senses danger? That's where problems occur in your life. If your old brain feels threatened, you immediately signal your new brain to take effect at one out of those five responses to get back to safety. That if you go to the old brain, you know, your direction with you, if you don't have any real danger, you're going to go back to being safe. You're going to go back to hiding and submitting or fleeing. But if you have something that is going to really truly impact you, such as maybe you're going to lose your house, you lost your job, you don't have any money, you're going to fight. And so if you think of your brain having that kind of new age danger, such as somebody that needs to lose weight, just had a heart attack. Doctor says you're going to die unless you lose weight. See, that's something that's emotionally impactful. So think of something in your life here on this call. We're here to get rich. That's why we join this industry. We don't join this industry to make friends. We don't join this industry as a hobby. We get here to get rich. We get here. We come into this industry to make millions of dollars, which is more money than anybody makes in a lifetime, and we do it to do it within 3 to 5 years. And everybody on this call is absolutely capable of it. So you have to learn to fight. Fight your mind, fight other people, those influences and those outside distractions, and stay persistent with your mind. And that, Paul, that is my message to everyone. Everybody have and make it a fantastic Monday. Thanks, Paul. Bye-bye.
Great words, Mr. Todd Nuclear Young, or Todd Universe Young, as your two nicknames have seemed to surface. Appreciate those thoughts. Star 6, who's next?
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning and good morning. How are you, young man?
Neville, I'm excellent. So nice to hear your voice.
I understand. I heard you talking about the great weekend that you had with your wife, and that's how you do it, young man. That's how Todd did it. That's how you do it. You always make sure you find time for your wife and your children, and sometimes together, sometimes apart. But making her feel like the queen that she is, listen, it's this thing that says, when mommy is happy, the whole house is happy. When mommy is not happy, watch out. So this is good. You did well. You did well. I'm following Todd this morning, and he said something, a couple of things about when he first saw his wife, he knew he was going to marry his wife. And it took place. Well, if we go back to something I said here about Napoleon Hill, but actually first in the Bible. Whatever you think about in your mind, you can achieve. It goes a little further than that, in that if you think on something persistently and believe it will happen, and you think about it and you take action towards attaining that goal, and you focus, and it's persistently focus. There are times when we're persistently maybe doing network marketing, but we're doing 10 different type of things at the same time, and we're not really focusing on the effort on one thing and achieve that, then move to another and achieve that, then go on. We're trying to get where we become jack of all trades. But no. But when he focused on his wife, that girl, and he believed in his heart that this young lady is all in all that he wanted to be his wife, I'm sure he thought about her on a consistent basis, and did whatever he could to make sure that she saw him in a great light, then he achieved his game. So persistent is a little bit more than just pushing ahead every day. You not only got to plan, and you got to work the plan and work the plan consistently, then your persistence will pay off. Thank you. Back to you, Paul.
Great thoughts, Neville. Wow, powerful persistence. Persistence starts in the mind. Starts in the mind, controlling those thoughts, persisting on that which we want. Just that alone, you know, can be somewhat difficult. Selection of a major definite purpose, you do that, you're in the top 3% of society, but then once you select it, persisting on focusing your mind every single day, first test of persistence. Star 6, who's next? Love those thoughts, Neville.
Hi, Paul. This is Anita in Virginia.
Hello, good morning. Welcome.
Thank you. I just wanted to say thank you for giving us your time each morning. I've only been with the company a couple of months, but I find these 9 a.m. calls very inspiring. It's just a great start, you know, to the day, and I really just wanted to say that comment and say thank you for your time. We really appreciate it, and I think it really helps a lot of us.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you very much for being here. And those nice words.
Hi, Paul. This is Todd from. This is Todd. This is Frank from Delaware.
Hey, Frank.
You can tell
good
I was
morning.
Thinking about Todd.
Todd's smiling right now because he's saying to himself, "Man, I really am duplicating myself."
Well, Paul, I just wanted to say that one of the things that we want to be persistent about is getting on these calls every morning, because this call will change your brain, will change your life, because if we continue to persist in it, every day, every single day, there's something that we hear from someone. So this is one of the ways that we can practice persistence, and it will also show itself in other parts of our, in our business, in our life, in everything that we do. If we get on this call every morning and set our mind for the day, that's the key for us. Thank you. Back to you, Paul.
Thank you. Wow. Set your mind for the day. Love that. Star 6, who's next?
Good morning,
Hi,
guys. I heard
wow,
a lady.
Wow, let's see. I heard Doc. I heard who? I think there were two ladies. Who was that? Who was first?
The ladies are first.
Go right ahead.
Is that Sandy?
It is, but that's okay.
Go ahead, Sandy.
Go
I know Doc's going to want you to go. Go ahead.
Oh, my goodness. So many powerful words spoken here this morning. And I have missed this call. I've been a little bit out of the loop, and just a couple of you know that I actually have had a neighbor who has gotten refuge here at our house from a very abusive 19-year marriage that she is getting out of. And it is amazing to see how in just a week she has changed. Powerful. She has seen my mindset, and thanks to all of you for what you do in helping all of us to have the right mindset and how powerful that is when you do. I'm teaching her those mindsets for what she's going through, and so true with the caller that just called in. It changes everything in your entire life when you change your perspective, your mindset on how you're going to achieve different things in your life. And so I'm teaching her that. And my goodness, it's been a week. And what a difference in her attitude and her confidence in what she can achieve. And so it's just very powerful. She's 54 years old. She came here scared to death, didn't know how she was going to make it on her own financially because she's had a lot. And now she feels like she has nothing. But guess what? She's got power with her mindset. And so I think that is just, it just completely blows me away at the difference. And she's seen what's happened here with me and my business. Guess what? She's in my business now. And she's very excited about it. So it's given her hope and a future for retirement. And so I am just very excited to share with you guys that it works. It is so powerful. If we let it, if we actually just let it affect every aspect of our life and see the mindset, skill set, everything that's involved in reaching the goals that we want to reach. Very powerful. Thank all of you. I really missed the call, and I'm so happy to be on today.
Sandy, thank you, and welcome back, and kudos to you for being the person that you are and sharing and helping in a time of need. I really appreciate that example, Sandy. Was there one other lady there with Sandy before Doc?
Okay, it was Suzanne.
Hey,
good
Suzanne.
Morning. It's Suzanne from Atlanta. I'll be brief because there is so much valuable information on this call, but I just wanted to share with you a little bit about the mindset that comes from approaching something that requires persistence. And I get so many comments in the past and even recently from someone who will say to me, I'm just no good on the phone. You have to help me find something else, Suzanne, because I don't know how to do that. Or I'm just no good at talking to people. And I kind of thought about a different skill set I have. I had to work very hard to learn to not be afraid to speak to people. But when I was younger, I learned how to play guitar. And I was thinking, wow, what a benefit it would be if your dad or your next-door neighbor was Eric Clapton. You would have a genius. You would have a master at your disposal that you could model after, and you could learn guitar so much quicker and easier than other people. And you may even have more inspiration But there would be no replacement for the daily application of practicing your skill set. Even if it was in your genes, and even if someone's trying to hand you the shortcuts on a silver platter, you cannot be that petulant child that says, well, I'm frustrated because I didn't get the results I want. I tried that phone thing, Mahara. I did it 10 days in a row, and nobody signed up. Really? That's interesting. Because as you and I and everyone on this call knows, that anything of value is going to take applied energy over a significant amount of time. And so when you manage your expectations, then you don't allow yourself or anyone else to say, I'm just no good at the cello. Because everyone who is a virtuoso paid the price, did their time, applied persistence, gave it heart and effort and energy and practice, and they earned that skill. No one is going to hand us $1 million on a silver platter. We have to earn it, and we have an amazing, fast, and efficient way to grab that brass ring, but we still have to reach up and grab it. Back to you, Paul.
Wow, powerful words, Suzanne. Thank you so much. Wow. Eric Clapton, neighbor, that would be awesome. But yeah, wow, wouldn't replace what we need to do to make it happen. So powerful. Doc Fran, go ahead, sir.
Well, good morning, and I am so happy that I waited. Thank you both, Sandy and Suzanne. What powerful messages, and so well spoken. This is that's the hallmark of this call, is just the clarity with which everyone expresses their understanding, their opinion, their belief, their truth, or their story. I love it, persistence. I mean, we've talked about that virtually on all the calls. The only thing that I want to contribute today is that one of the ways and one of the keys to allowing yourself to have persistence is what we train on about maintaining your focus on your end goal. And by having that unified, continuous vision of where you are going, persistence becomes almost second nature. That's why we train. Don't get distracted by all of the diversions that we create for ourselves to make this game of getting to the goal more fun. I mean, that's literally what we're doing, guys. You know, I mean, running down the end of straight down a road to the finish line and winning is certainly okay, but isn't it a lot more exciting, thrilling, and rewarding when we can't just run straight to that goal? We allow ourselves to create hurdles over here and jumping over bushes there and stamping out fires here and turning around and going back to start and all of the other things that we do to make that journey to the goal more interesting, more fun, more rewarding, and more valuable. Back to you guys.
Wow, Doc, that is, I've never looked at distractions and all the different things that happen in that type of a light before, where it's part of the journey. Wow, you know, here I am trying to make my path as straight as possible, focus, 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 eliminate, eliminate, and that's not all bad. There's a lot to be said for that, but I love how you just pointed out that the journey and some of these things that happen along the way is part of the reward, the thrilling, rewarding. Really, wow, that's an aha moment for me. I appreciate that, Doc. Star 6, who's next?
Paul, it's Marco from Jensen Beach.
Hey, Marco, good morning.
Good morning. Doc, thank you. You just allowed me to lighten up on myself about a ton, because I know something about persistence in my life, and I've been watching the Olympic trials lately. Last night was gymnastics, and the skill level of these young people that made the team and the people that did not make the team is just absolutely mind-boggling. And when we talk about persistence, I know from a historical past in collegiate sports that doing the same thing every day, over and over, getting coaching, picking yourself up, doing it again, getting beat up, doing it again and again. And I notice as I've stepped into this business from some others, I've been beating myself up pretty badly because I don't stay on the ball doing what I know I should do persistently every day. And you just gave me a little levity, Doc, and I appreciate it. And I'm going to be persistent today, and I'm going to be lighter on myself too. So thank you all.
Thank you, Marco. Powerful words. Thanks for coming out and sharing.
Paul, this is Doc Fran. I want to point out that Mark is a national collegiate champion diver as well as an Olympic. Diving at the time of Greg Louganis, for all, those of you who follow the Olympic aqua sports.
And he's not perfect in this stuff. That's fascinating. Wow.
You know, and the older I get, the better I was.
Well, Star Six, who's next?
This is Judy from Florida.
Hi, Judy. Good morning.
Good morning. How is everybody?
We're
awesome.
You know,
what an awesome chapter. You know, something happened to me over the weekend, and I do make quick decisions. Went camping with friends, you know, to a swamp in the middle of the city here in Florida. And we were in a cabin, and some young couples rented a cabin next to us and immediately started this domestic fighting and yelling and screaming and disturbed my peace. My decision is to call the sheriff and file a complaint, just like the directions say to do. So that's what I did. They came out, talked to the people, and my friend, who has always been one to be a bully and to do things on his own, he came to me and he says, you know, I think I learned an important lesson from you, Judy, to follow the direction. And to do that first instead of getting myself worked up. You know, and that was an important compliment to me. I do make decisions. And like Doc Fran is pointing out, you know, is stumbling is part of the process. And boy, do I stumble a lot. I have a hard time picking my feet up and going. But I do make these decisions quickly, and I do act. But what I do find is that procrastination and such, but I also find that I am persistent. I keep getting on these calls. So, you know, thank you for who you are, and thank you for all your wisdom in passing it on to me, you guys. Have a great day. Thanks.
Thank you, Judy, for that story, and thanks for your persistence in being on these calls every day. Love that. Star Six, who's next? We've got a couple of minutes left.
Hey, Paul, Rick Mark.
Rick, go ahead.
Yes, you know, I wanted to point out something here that's kind of the obvious, but sometimes...
Hey, Rick, I don't know if you can maybe speak in the phone a little bit closer. You're kind of faint. It's a little bit difficult to hear you.
I'll put my ear up to the phone, off the headset. Is that better?
That's better, yes, thank you.
What I wanted to say about, I heard about cold calling and just a little bit here when it comes to mindset. Just the term alone, cold calling, sets you up for failure. Here's what it is, okay? In the United States, basically in Canada, we participate in the capitalism. And if you're in a capitalistic society, you better well become a capitalist. Or you're going to have a difficult time living in a capitalistic society, not being a capitalist. You have to embrace the idea. You got to embrace what made this country so incredible. So here's where I'm going with this. Sales. Nothing happens in a capitalistic society until a sale is made, whether it be product or service. So if you're going with the mindset that sales is something that you do for someone and not to someone, not trying to manipulate them. It's an incredible posture. You see, So when you get on the phone, you're not making a cold call. You're making a possibility call. All you're trying to do is find out what if somebody's looking. If you're looking to score your next sponsor, you're setting up yourself for failure. You see, it's all in the mind. It's all in the how you look at it. I want everyone at some point in the next few minutes to pick up a coin. And on the one side of that coin, you say, tail, let's look at that as failure. And on the other side of that coin, it says head, let's look at that as success. And when you flip them over, on the flip side is the ultimate. It's the other side. So on the other side of failure is success. Friends, same thing. On the other side of success is failure. It's that simple. The next step, between the step between success and failure, is generally the time when you feel like quitting. It's right on the other side. You flip that coin, and you're on the other side. It's just that simple. You can build up a business for 20 years, and you can tear it down in 5 minutes. It's incredible to me. Once you have that call in your mind, you understand the principle that sales is something you do for someone, not to someone. You're not making a cold call. It's just you're trying to find out whether somebody's looking to better their life. Do you know anybody in life who is not looking to better themselves? You know, if you call the line and somebody says, I'm not interested, well, they're doing fantastic. Let them be. You keep going till you find the other one. You keep persisting. Whatever word makes you feel like moving on, like the energized bunny, you use it. You talk to yourself. Whatever it is you need, you stay to keep fired up. But if you know that you're doing something for someone, but why wouldn't you want to pick up the phone and make that call? Somebody says they're not interested, use that ketchup analogy. Okay? It's just really that simple. You can make a veritable hell or heaven out of your mind. That's where you live. You either live in hell or you live in heaven. It's your choice. It's your play, your call. Right back to you, Paul.
Love those thoughts, Rick Martin. If you live in a capitalistic country, you may as well become a capitalist or you're going to have a difficult time. That is a statement to ponder. And how about instead of cold calling, we engage in gold calling, G-O-L-D, gold calling. I like that term. Folks, let us focus on our end goal. Let us see our major definite purpose in our minds. Let us move forward on that path, kicking obstacles, temporary setbacks right out of the way. Let's move forward. Let's have faith. Let's take action. Make it a great day, my friends. We'll see you back here tomorrow morning on the Think and Grow Rich call. Thanks for everyone's valuable contribution. Love you. Make it a great day.